of you have either read the book or heard of the book, The Shack? When the movie version came out last year, it built on the best-selling success of the novel, which came out about a decade ago. And when this book came out, and then when the film came out, it was embraced by many, even in the evangelical community. And at the same time, there were others in that community that blasted it as heretical. The main cause of the conflict in this depiction was that it depicted God as a black woman, whose name is Papa. This character invites the main character of the story to meet God in a shack out in the middle of nowhere where a horrific event had just taken place. And when the main character comes to the shack, he finds the Trinity depicted in a surprising way. And instead of telling you more about this, we're gonna watch the official film trailer.
Should have a red dress like mine.
Red it is.
Where's Missy?
Missy!
Where's Missy?
Sorry, Mac, they haven't seen her.
Missy! Missy!
I'm scared. I didn't know what to do.
Possible suspect sighting. Ground team's found the truck in the mountains.
I'm really sorry, Mr. Phillips.
You want some help over there?
I'm okay.
I'll have some dinner tonight.
Maybe next time.
I'm so sorry.
We've lost so much already. I don't want to lose you too.
The letter showed up in my mailbox, but no tracks in the snow.
You're not thinking about going back there, are you?
I gotta do something.
And you know, this isn't a good idea.
It's crazy, but this is all I got.
Got a fire going inside if you want to warm up.
Mackenzie Allen Phillips. I've been looking forward to this.
Do I know you?
Not very well, but we can work on that.
This is incredible.
He's still having a hard time believing this is real.
Why did you bring me here?
There's no easy answer that'll take your pain away.
Where were you when I needed you?
I never left you.
Ain't it just like a tear to go and blow?
You want me to forgive him? I want him to hurt like he hurt me.
You want the promise of a pain-free life? There isn't one.
You can do this.
I can't.
Not on your own, you can't.
This is your flying lesson.
Been a little bit hard to see, but the Trinity was depicted. God was a black woman, Jesus was a Middle Eastern young man, and the Holy Spirit was an Asian woman. And so they meet together in this shack. In a 2016 Chicago Tribune article about the shack, it describes how the author of the book had a personal traumatic experience that left him questioning God's faithfulness. In the midst of his struggle, a former ministry colleague, who happened to be an African-American woman, reached out to him and provided comfort and a sense of God's faithfulness. And he experienced the presence of God in a new way. This inspired him to write the novel, which has, for many people, expanded their sense of who God is. But why is it important to learn about other images of God? Jesus talked about God as Father, so why would we need anything else? Well, for one, Scripture is full of many images of God. And we're going to take a look at some of those right now. So we see God depicted as the Creator, Isaiah 45. God as light in 1 John. God is a warrior, which we heard a little bit this morning. God is a potter. We are the clay. God is a mother bear, fiercely protecting her cubs. God is a hen gathering her chicks under her wings. God is a woman searching for a lost coin. God is a bearded old white man. I couldn't actually find a scripture reference to this, but it does reference the God as Father and God as King, which does show up in the scripture a lot. God as a comforting mother in Isaiah 66. God as a birthing mother, which we heard this morning, Isaiah 42, crying out in birth pangs. God as a nursing mother. I am aware that even mentioning God in feminine terms can be a shock to the system for many of us. Many of us grew up in only learning about God as Father. And so to hear God described in non-masculine terms can feel at the least uncomfortable and at the most heretical. God language is primarily masculine in the Bible. However, there are multiple references to God as feminine. And since we take Scripture seriously, we are called to listen to these quieter voices and hear what they have to say to us. The first people to hear the scripture this morning were the Israelites living under Babylonian exile in about 600 BCE. They were in desperate need of fresh images for God. Forced into exile, their preconceived notions of who God was were all but shattered. If God's sanctuary was in the temple, where was God now that the temple was destroyed? If God was the ruling king over all, what did it mean that the people had been conquered by the Persians, these non-God-fearing, this idolatrous empire? The people had seen their houses and livelihoods go up in smoke when Jerusalem was destroyed. God seemed absent, and despair set in. The prophet Isaiah spoke into that place of despair. God longed to show God's self, not as an untouchable ruler on high, but as the one who suffered with the people, who connected deeply with their suffering. And the groans of a woman in labor provided an image of God who both suffered with and was birthing a new thing for the people. I had a conversation last week with my friend Patty Peebles, who's a nurse and has assisted many women in giving birth. I asked her what she learned about motherhood from accompanying these births. She said that the power of a mother in labor is incredible. And this has been especially cool for me to reflect on this weekend as one of our own members, KT, has just gone through labor and given birth. Patty said that a mother's strength, determination, and courage is astounding, seeing their entire body gathered and focused into this work. Patty said, mothers are laid low in exhaustion, but continue on without knowing whether it will be 1 hour or 8 hours. Sometimes women want to give in to despair, but they are caught up in the torrent of giving birth no matter what. In our passage from Isaiah, we get a sense of this torrential power of God as a woman in labor pains, crying out in pain and determination. This verse is directly preceded by a metaphor of God as a warrior, which is a more traditionally masculine term. And so these two forceful images are used to draw on the sense of a God who is powerful and who is beyond gender. But Israel needed more than the sheer force of God. They also needed comfort. And so Isaiah draws on additional metaphors for God, mothering metaphors, that would communicate God's sustenance in the midst of their harsh reality. In Isaiah 49, it says, But Zion said, Yahweh has abandoned me. Adonai has forgotten me. Does a woman forget her baby at the breast or fail to cherish the child of her womb? Yet even if these forget, I will never forget you. And later in Isaiah 66, which we heard, as nurslings you will be carried in her arms and fondled in her lap. As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. In Jerusalem you will find your rest. Here was a God that the Israelites might learn to trust again. With the exposed wounds of recent exile, God tended to their suffering, providing comfort and hope for the future. A number of years ago, when I was dealing with depression, a friend of mine gave me a prayer book with illustrations that depicted God as a mother. And that image communicated hope for healing and nurture in a way that God as Father couldn't quite for me at that moment. Our personal experiences of our fathers and mothers greatly impact our ability or desire to see God as either father or mother. For some of us, our mothers were not the supportive, nurturing mothers we needed them to be. And so feminine images of God may not sit well. For others of us, fathers were distant or absent or abusive. And so father language creates a barrier between God and experiencing the love of God for some of us. On the other hand, some of us with painful experiences of our parents have been able to reclaim the loving father or mother role through seeing God as fulfilling that role. But this is a sensitive issue. All mothers and fathers are broken humans. And we run into the limits of any metaphor to adequately describe God. I want to be clear that I am not advocating for getting rid of masculine language for God. Praying to God the Father is a good way to pray. And if other metaphors for God are helpful, use them. We see an abundance of examples in Scripture. The purpose of metaphors is to help us see the depth and breadth of God's care for us. Patty talked about the juxtaposition of all sorts of bodily fluids coming along with the birth of a new human. She said this image of God bringing forth new life through the mess that surrounds us is one that rings true to her of who God is. God was bringing forth new life for the Israelites, recentering their worship on the living God rather than on temple practices. And God eventually led the people back to Jerusalem through Cyrus, the king of Persia, who overthrew the Babylonians. But just like a newly pregnant mother who is not yet showing, the activity of God was not immediately visible to the people when they were in exile. While God was growing something new. During that time of a perceived absence of God, mothering metaphors reminded the people that God was powerful to sustain and deliver. Nelson Krabill, the president of Mennonite World Conference, who also happens to be my father, shared with me how he sees God as mother as being helpful for both males as well as females. He said, "Boys and men have as much need as anybody for a mother's love. If our images of God are exclusively male, we are missing half the nurture of a parent that we need." Catholic priest Richard Rohr writes, "Whoever God is profoundly and essentially what it means to be male and female in perfect balance. We have to find and to trust the feminine face of God and the masculine face of God." When we draw on expansive metaphors for God, we encounter the all-encompassing care of God, who is both Father and Mother. Our Maker helps boys and girls, men and women, see themselves as made in the image of God. This is good news for many of us who may have felt or continue to feel that we are less than because of how we are made. It is good news for all of us as God cares for us beyond even the best father or mother. With this view of God, we are then called to care for others in expansive ways. We are called by God to stand strongly for justice and to comfort and care for our neighbors. Neither of these traits are more masculine or feminine than the other, but rather draw on all of our being to serve God as God serves others and us. Just as God spoke comfort to the Israelites crushed under exile, God speaks into our brokenness today. God promises to walk alongside us, suffering with us, and will deliver us. Like a nursing mother, God never abandons God's children. With the force of a woman in labor, God delivers us from fear, birthing new possibilities. Like a mother raising her child, God carries us in her arms, rejoicing over us. Go out in the tender and strong presence of God and extend God's all-encompassing care to everyone you meet. Amen.
Let's take a moment of a minute of silence to listen to the voice of Jesus speak to us. Do you have a response or a reflection or a prayer request that you want to share? Please come up and you can share it now.
Hello, church. I have been here studying temporarily in Chicago, and the time has come for me to move back to Colorado. I'm going to be living with my daughter and grandson there, and I went last week and made some connections with the Mennonite church there. I'm very thrilled to join, and it's in a neighboring city, and it's been planted for about 5 years, and then 2 weeks ago, I guess today would be the third week that they planted one in the city where my daughter lives, and actually offered me an internship if I need the internship credit for next spring. So I have been praying with a discernment group for about a year and a half, maybe. We met, I don't know, 6 or 8 times, and been just asking God where he wants me and what he wants me to do. And I still don't know exactly where I'm going, but I do know that I won't be here. So I'd love to have your prayers as I pack my boxes in the next 2 weeks and try to finish the semester. I'll be gone for a couple of weeks to my daughter's as I move all of my things, but then I'll come back and study for a couple of weeks too, so I'll be back at church a few more times. So I would just like for you guys to all pray for me.
So for those who don't know, Shauna's been studying at North Park Seminary with the intention of becoming a chaplain, and she's came from Colorado, right? And she's going back there, and she's wanted to go back there. And so she's just kind of wrapping up her studies, but she's taking the rest of it mostly online, so it's going to be possible to do it from Colorado. And she was an intern here at this church. So let's just pray provision and equipping and guiding prayers for Shauna right now.
For this daughter of yours and this sister of ours, and we've been so encouraged to interact with her in this time you've given us together here in Chicago. Thank you for the faith that you've equipped her with. Thank you for the truth that she seeks so earnestly. Thank you for her hardworking spirit to know you, to know more from your word, to serve your people, to serve this world. And Lord, these desires of her heart, we pray that as she commits her way so attentively to you, that you would give them to her.
God, we thank you for Shauna, and we thank you for the ways that she has been a part of this community the last few years and the gift that she has been to us. And we bless her as she moves home or away or forward to Colorado, and we pray that as she moves, that you would prepare the way for her and that you would show her the places where she would go. And we thank you for the ways that you're already making provisions for her with her children and grandchildren and also church. And we pray that you would provide her with opportunities to serve you in the ways that her heart is being called to serve you.
Lord, thank you for Shauna's courage in setting out for North Park when she didn't know anyone here in Chicago and leading her to this church, for her joy in serving us and being part of the Unity Choir and giving sermons and helping with urban tables and the summer internship she had working with elders and recognizing how much she enjoyed being with them. So thank you for just helping her to tenaciously grasp this goal of becoming a chaplain and just how you've opened doors one after the other and closed other doors. So I just pray that you would keep her faith and certainty and confidence in you strong, and sharpen her ability to hear you. Thank you that her daughter wants her to come live with her, and there's a place for her to live. So we pray for all the details of wrapping up life in Chicago, that you would help that go well, and she could say her goodbyes and have closure, and yet finish her coursework at North Park, and figure out what internship to do to finish her degree. Thank you that these Mennonite churches are opening up in her area. So, you know, you've just given so much, and we just believe and thank you and praise you that you will get her the rest of the way. But we thank you for the time of preparation she spent among us. We pray these things with joy and confidence in your name, Jesus. Amen.
I'm Dennis. Laura hit on a topic that has always bothered me because I know I'm doing it wrong. We try to humanize our image of God. Oh, he's a man. She's a woman. She's white. She's black. She's Asian. She's, you know, all these different things, and it's so much bigger than that. And we try to get it so that we can understand it. I'm a retired math teacher, and one of the biggest problems I had with my kids was they would say, well, I don't want to understand this. I just want to be able to do it. And, of course, none of you were ever guilty of doing that. I won't ask for a raise of hands, okay? And that's kind of like with us, with God. We just, you know, we want to try to understand him on our terms, and we can't. And we just have to kind of live with that. So that was good bringing that back to my mind of, you know, yeah, yes, the answer is yes to all of those. You know, because he created us, so we're a part of that. Yeah. And then the other thing is I want to ask some prayers for a friend of mine, a real good friend of mine. We went to high school together. We're still together, and he has had a horrible year. First, his 32-year-old son died suddenly, left a wife and a 2-year-old baby. Then his father died. Then his mother died. And now his wife's in the hospital. And if you could just consider Dave in your prayers and give him the strength to handle all this, and he's very down.
God, we thank you that when life is most desperate and dark, you show up, and that you can somehow work through our suffering to mold our character, to take us deeply into the mystery of what Jesus did on the cross and in coming and the incarnation. So we pray that somehow you would speak faith to him, that he will not be eternally separated from these dear ones who have died. Help him to be a support to his wife and her health crisis right now. Help him weep and mourn and grieve and know he will get through this. Thank you for friends like Dennis that are trying to be around him and not leave him isolated. So we just know that you are a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and you are the mother that holds us on your lap and comforts us. So we pray that Dave would be attuned to your presence, especially today as we're praying for him and as others are praying for him.
Lord, thank you that you are in family and that you know what loss is. You know what it's like to cry out in pain and in grief and in anguish. Pray that your presence would be with Dave. Oh, and that you would bring healing and the power of your kingdom to his wife and his family. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. I just wanted to share an image that sort of came to my mind when Laura was talking about God as mother, that's helpful for me and may be helpful for you all. I was just thinking about when babies or small children are just feeling their emotions so strongly and get really overwhelmed by emotion and just, you know, just kind of are freaking out, and how a mother can just take the child into their arms and provide a safe space so that they can just calm and know that it's going to be okay. And I think that I, even as an adult, for those of you that know the Myers-Briggs, I'm an F, which is a feeler, not a thinker, although I do think. So I feel things very strongly, and I can still get, you know, overwhelmed by emotions at times, and so that image of God just taking me in his arms is really powerful.